We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the thundering storm voice of your local announcer, Tom Fitzmaurice, here to talk with you about food, about rhythm, about rhythm. Wait, I have no rhythm, so I will not try to fool you with that. We're talking food here today, as we do every day. We love talking about that. We'd love to have you join us with that conversation. Anything you want is good enough for me. We cover the entire dining scene around New Orleans, and we keep it on you. 260-6368 is our telephone number. You can grab it anytime you want.
Give us a call, because we are talking memories today.
Believe it or not.
Today is the day before tomorrow, which, is National Slurpee Day. And even though Time Saver, where Tom spent an enormous part of his youth, is not where you would find Slurpees, that is 7-Eleven. And tomorrow, if you want a free Slurpee to help them celebrate their anniversary, go on in, and you will be welcomed with a free Slurpee. But anyway, Time Saver did not have Slurpees. They had Icees, but it did get me in the mood to talk about convenience stores, mainly because you've never seen Tom start rattling off. This is something I know about Tom that you don't know, which is that he is a repository for unbelievably detailed stories about his time at the Time Saver. And these are interesting stories, and so I thought we would share them today, and I would just sort of sit here and interview Tom about his time at the Time Saver. If you have your own memories about Time Saver or any of that era, things that you liked, a particular one that you went to, people that you knew, stuff that you bought, like some sort of ritual every day, if you had went and got an Icy every day, give us a call, 260-6368. In the meantime, Tom is going to continue to reflect on his time at the Time Saver. All right.
Yeah, so, you know, you have to really give this some thought.
So we went through some of your favorites, and we've got you like Time Saver number 4, which is where the blue tomato was and now is gone as well. I wonder what's going to be in that space.
I don't know.
I'm sure it's probably going to be.
It hasn't changed since the Time Saver days. It looks exactly the same.
Yeah, it was kind of a dumpy place, I have to say.
Well, it'd been worked out for a long time.
It's gone now. Okay, and then you went to Time Saver number 1, which we learned in this last hour.
The original store.
Time Saver number 7 was the one at Green Acres and Veterans, which was the biggest seller.
I did not mention this earlier.
Okay.
But the birthday of my beard is November 72.
Happy birthday
And it was the day.
Happy birthday to beard.
It was the day that I stopped shaving at all. Uh-huh. I haven't shaved since then.
His beard, folks, will go all the way around the city. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, okay, so...
I went
in. Did you have that brilliant idea at the Time Saver? And which Time Saver was that?
That was number 1.
So that's where that idea was born?
I went around back with a couple of the guys that I'd worked with for a while. Mm-hmm. And I took my Time Saver shirt off. I had a special shirt. And
was it given to you by the company?
Everybody had to have them. It was white
uniform,
shirt.
Your uniform. Yeah,
and a tie, too. I always wore a tie.
Wait, was that part of the uniform, though?
No, but I always wore a tie.
Right, okay.
So, got a couple of these buddies of mine who had worked with me for years, and we went around back of the store, and we started a small fire, and we burned it all.
You burned what?
The shirt.
Why?
We just thought it would be something stupid to do.
Wait.
Fortunately, nothing happened.
Wait. So you all took off your uniform shirt that the company provided.
That's right.
And started a fire and burned them.
Yeah.
And what sort of...
There were like four of them.
And what sort of thing came down in terms of punishment for you all?
Nothing. We were done. The manager, he thought it was kind of a cool idea, too. So so we got away with that one.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you had four or five recollections of particular ones that you worked
in. I have one more that to this day remember fondly.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right, there was a guy who came in who, just looking at him, made me think that he was in the Navy. I'm not sure why I thought that, but something about him said that. And he used to walk in, not every day, certainly, and we'd see him maybe once every couple or 3 days.
Uh-huh.
He'd advance to the store, and when we walked up to the counter on the other side of the counter, he said, and I have to get the sound of this right, because he had a deeper voice than I had, and certainly that I have, but what he said was, let me have a box. No, let's try again from the beginning. Let me have one more time. I promise I'll get it this time around. Let me have a pack of cool regulars. He said it exactly like I just did it. Give me a pack of cools regulars. The rhythm of it, it was just, you know, here I am.
It was intoxicating.
1970. Two. It was the first restaurant review column I had ever done.
So you were 21. And that was fascinating. So did it make you want to have a pack of
cools
regulars?
That I don't know. Because
you never did smoke,
I never smoked.
You weren't intrigued enough for that.
No,
okay.
Pretty
now,
bad.
Now, you know, that brings up a question that I had for you, which is if you are working.
Cool.
If you are working. At a place.
Yeah.
He's going to keep doing it, folks. Go ahead, Tom.
Mm.
I know you want to do it again. Go ahead.
Cool.
Okay. So if you're working someplace and there are people that come in, like, okay, so we have our habits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like at La Coretta, you
yeah.
know, Mary Lee and I always go into La Coretta, and I'm sure that, you know, I don't know what they think about us. We have come to know the staff there well enough that we have thoughts about them. I'm sure they have thoughts about us. And I think that's probably true in any place where you work and you are in contact with the public all the time. You start to notice people, the way they dress. You start to notice their habits. You start to notice things about their demeanor. And I'm just wondering, especially in a place like a convenience store where chances are, like a Starbucks, for example, a Starbucks where somebody comes in for their such and such latte every day. I'm sure that the people who were the baristas who work there probably have thoughts about the people that they see. Maybe they get to know them, but until they get to know them, they have some sort of mental picture of what this person is actually like. So what sort of people did you remember that stuck out in your mind and why?
There was a girl who came in just about every 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And
which timetable was this?
Which one? It was the one that turned into four.
Okay. All right.
And all she could seem to do is talk about getting married.
Married. Okay. Uh-huh.
And,
you
know, it wasn't because
time?
I asked her about it or anything. Huh?
Do you think she was hitting on you?
It could be, but it seems hard to believe, though, doesn't it?
How old was she about?
I don't know.
So at this point, it didn't even occur to you because, you know, so when you say she talked about getting married.
Yeah, I mean, what is that about?
Like,
what
could I get a pack of cool regulars and I want to get married? I mean, what did she say? How did you know that?
Well, it's one of those kind of things that you don't miss when it passes in front of you.
Well, but I mean, she must have said
I don't know. I have no idea.
It was just like an aura she had that she was kind of like a desperate woman wanting to get married.
No, she was much, much younger than I was. Of course, I was pretty young myself then.
Well, how did this come up?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. It just, she popped it out one day as if, okay, I'll just stand here and wait for you to tell me, you know.
What
are we, well, where are we going to go to get married? You know,
so you think she was, you do think she was
a little off.
You do think she was hitting on you. I see.
Well, I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, me too.
Just because what's the expression you just used?
Getting hit on.
I have very little experience with that.
Okay.
So.
All right. So what other people? What other people at what other time saver made an impression on
Never,
you?
Never one. Oh, no. Wait.
Oh, come this, on.
No, I
know. I can't believe that you worked in a place day after day and certain people did not pop out to you for whatever reason. Like, oh, that person's really nasty, or, oh, my gosh, that person's so sweet. I can't believe that. Or, boy, that person looks like they've been up all night. Come on. Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're not very observant.
No, I guess maybe that's it, you know.
Yeah. Like, I would have all kinds of imaginations about everyone I saw just because I am very observant and I put together things that maybe a lot of people don't. But I can't believe that you haven't.
Well, me too. And I hope I never hear about it again. And I never liked it at the beginning. And the Montgomerys, of course, had nothing to do with it because they'd seen it all.
I'm sure they had. All right. So we found out now, so far in this conversation, the number one highest grossing, to your knowledge, number seven. Here on Green Acres at Veterans, which makes perfect sense because that was highly developing at that era.
They had a barbershop there in that same little strip mall, and I got my hair cut there all the time.
Mm. Okay. All right. So was this when your hair was long? No, not.
Yeah, it was pretty long.
It was?
As a matter of fact, it was so long, I brought my razor with me, and the barber said, "You ain't going to be able to put that in that kind of hair."
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
We'll cut it down a little bit and see what we got.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So so you were talking about your cleaning. Tom has always boasted that he is excellent as a cleanup person. He's a very Yeah, you always did. You said, you know, I'm really good at cleaning. And you used to talk about how you would clean the Time Saver every night.
Believe
me, I know that that's not true of your personal house. Anyway.
So I keep a clean house?
No, I said that you don't. All right. So so what was your ritual for cleaning the Time Saver?
Oh, well, excuse me. Item number one, I go out and I sweep the parking lot.
What?
Sweep the parking lot.
Was that required, or did you just do that? What?
It was one of the things we had to do, yeah.
You had to sweep the parking lot?
Swept the parking lot. The only time I didn't like doing it was for a fairly long period when I was doing the all-night shift in number 37 in Gretna. And over there, it was kind of lonely because it was after midnight, and I was sweeping the lawn. You know, I'm telling a lot about this in case I need a new job anytime soon, because
what would you hope to get from this, Tom?
Get from what?
If you're auditioning for another job, what would
not you, back then it wasn't.
No, I'm saying you said you're telling all this so that you, if you need another job. So what job would you think that this and these stories would qualify you for? I'm curious.
Well, there are a lot of people who sweeper.
What?
I'm sure you're right, but you know there are certain things that need to be done, and a dirty parking lot is not something that looks good.
I can't believe anybody sweeps a parking lot today. I'm sorry.
A push broom.
I find that hard to believe.
Start believing it because.
No, but this was a long, long time ago, Tom. We're talking 40 years ago, 50 years ago. I can't imagine that anyone is sweeping a parking lot circa 2019.
Uh-huh.
Come on. All right. So then you clean the parking lot. And then what else? What else did you do?
And then the second part of the deal was to sweep the store, the entire store.
Hopefully not with the same broom.
I had a broom for outside and a broom for inside.
Okay.
So swept the whole store.
Yeah.
Mopped the whole store.
Okay.
And then I
This was after midnight? This is after midnight?
No, no. We closed at midnight. Okay. There were some stores that were open 24/7, but...
So when did this cleaning take place? You said in the middle of the night or late at night.
The goal was to walk out the door at midnight.
Okay.
We didn't always hit that.
Okay.
And then...
And you did this every day. You cleaned the parking lot.
Every night.
And then you swept the floor, and then you mopped the floor,
Mopped the floor. And then I would work the what? What did we call that?
Probably stocking, huh?
Stocking. That's exactly what it was. So I would go from table to shelf to shelf, or gondolas, as they is what we called them, or gondolas to be more exact. And so.
What is that?
A gondola. That's all of the shelf units. It's just in one collection. And you know, here's one here, down here.
They call that a gondola?
A gondola.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Hey, this is a gondola right here.
Why?
Huh? I don't know.
So you would restock them?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I would. Mm-hmm. We will come back with more of the food show in a moment after. First, please, this.
We are back. 260-6368 is the number. If you have any of your own memories of the Time Saver, please give us a call and join in with us. We're listening to Tom's remembrances, and I will say this. I've always said that it's always fun to, I wish I could tell you what's going on while we're in a break, and so here's what I've been listening to. Go ahead, Tom.
I'd like, please, a pack of Cools, regulars.
Yeah. Tom really likes that. Anyway, let me tell you about Porter and Luke. I don't know if I can follow that, but here we'll give it a try. Porter and Luke is a wonderful little neighborhood restaurant on Metairie Road where you will find great fried chicken and delicious creamy pastas with shrimp and some sausage. You will find a ham shank and red beans and sausage and red beans, or a pork chop and red beans, good salads, great club sandwich, my favorite in town. They have a good fried eggplant there. They have all kinds of wonderful things that you, if you can think of it for a, you know, like a favorite comfort food, they've probably got it. They have a good hamburger, too. Nice salads, poor boys, good fried seafood. Porter and Luke at 1517 Metairie Road in the shopping center with Oakwin Heart and Walgreens, and they are now open for brunch on Tuesdays, where it's not only brunch. They have the regular menu, but they do have some brunch items, too. That's Porter and Luke. Also, New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood is where you will find great fried seafood, and ask them to make it spicealicious for you. They have good hamburgers that are crusty on the outside and juicy on the inside. Good neighborhood kinds of specialties, local New Orleans specialties. Good fried fried seafood poor boys. They have salads that are excellent, and they now have char-grilled oysters. That's New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood, 10 locations around town. Go check them out. Good representation of the local cuisine in a very casual environment. All right, back to our road down memory lane with Tom on this Slurpee, National Slurpee Eve. We are not talking about Slurpees because that's 7-Eleven, but Tom spent an inordinate amount of time at the Time Saver when he was a young'un, and so we're going through memory lane with him. All right, so after you swept and mopped, then what did you do?
Mm-hmm.
Tom is giving us his cleaning ritual.
By that time, we were about done, and the guy who was up at the cash register, which I tried to avoid...
me too, when I was working, yeah.
And because you were static, and you would just sit there, and
your
back would start getting bent.
Yeah.
But I would go into the walk-in cooler and refill all the beer and all the. We had a lot of sales of milk. That was one that I should have mentioned.
Was that one that they had a lot?
Milk.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we sold lots and lots of
milk.
Well,
you know, if you need milk, you need to go to a convenience store sometimes.
But here is something that I've actually quote in articles, in food articles over the years. That it just occurred to me that this is kind of part of this. On the shelf in the walk-in cooler, where all the cold things, you know, the milk
ice cream, stuff like that. That'd be the freezer. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And but in this case, it was the refrigerator, and on it were these containers, kind of like cups, big sort of squat cups. Mm-hmm. And they were about, I can describe them to you easily. You know what a
Like a regular cup?
I'm trying to remember. You have cotton. No, not cotton. There is this stuff that's like cottage cheese, except it's a New Orleans product.
Creole cream cheese.
Cream
cheese was cheese. Very popular back
Creole
then,
cream
it?
Cheese. Here is what we served every day, 40 a day.
What?
At least that. Of that product, because
cheese?
In any other place, nobody would have it
Who
at all.
Who's making it now?
The super. Well, they shut it down ultimately to cut down completely. The place that was famous for it was Borden's. But they stopped, and there were some other stores. I think Dornax and Langenstein's also
Why
did it.
Why did they stop it?
Nobody was buying it. I remember one of the earliest shows I ever did. I was talking to a guy from one of the dairies. I said, I can tell you, and you got to do something about this, because people walk in here every single day and they want some Creole cream cheese. What is it? It's Clabber. And if you look that up in the refrigerator, in the dictionary, that's what you will find. Clabber. It is milk that
like
has
a solid buttermilk
set,
or something?
Sort of, yeah.
It's like a solid buttermilk. Okay.
So,
but you know, moths is moth, M-A-U-T-H-E. They're making it.
Yeah, now they are, but this was a product that was not just available, but it was available in huge numbers. People
You said people did buy it, or they didn't
they
buy
did
it?
Buy
they
it.
Did buy it. And then they stopped making it. Why would they stop making it?
Because the people, the Gordon people or whoever, said, we just don't sell that much of it. Except they did.
Maybe they just sold it in the convenience stores and not in the regular stores.
Maybe
That's
so, but whatever it was, I can tell you that back in the days of my working at the Time Saver, we had a lot of Creole cream cheese for sale on the shelf or on the gondola,
Were you still there when they stopped making it? And did you have to start telling people they stopped making it?
No, that came a little bit longer down the road. Because when I remember hearing somebody talk about it, I said, what's the big deal? Creole cream cheese, you get that everywhere in your life. You It's one of those things.
Do you
except
like it?
I was wrong.
Do you like cream? Really?
I like it for certain things. You know what it's best for?
What?
Making cheesecake.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's got that tang to it.
It's got that tang. It's got that tang to it. It's the kind of tang that you lip your lip on round.
Cool.
And every time you sit down and take a look away, you've got that cream old cream cheese. Well, a bottle a day.
All right.
Woo!
Okay, that was really something, yeah. Okay, so now back to the cool.
Yeah,
the cool.
Cool, regulars.
Yeah. Now, you must have sold a lot of cigarettes, as you said.
Lots of
cigarettes. You must have had one that stuck out that most people bought. Was that it?
Winston's, yeah.
That was the one?
And then as time went on, it shifted over to Marlboro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they had good ads. The Marlboro Man.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to be the Marlboro Man.
Yeah.
I can't even say that.
Marlboro.
It's hard to say. Marlboro. Yeah.
And not only that, get a refill of Cools Regulars.
I knew you were going to say
that. Wait. Was that the same company? I think it was.
Was it? Now they have a lot of hipster brands of cigarettes.
Yeah.
You know, that's I'm trying to think of the name of it because
I don't
pay much attention to it. But anyway.
Me neither.
All right. So what else? What else do you want to share with us about your Time Saver days? Because I'm riveted. We went through the favorite ones. We went through the most profitable. When you got your schedule, okay, so I guess you got the schedule from corporate and you worked, did you float around? Were you like a floater, or did you work from one and then you decided to go to another?
I pretty much was on a static schedule.
And so why did you change so much?
Well, because most of the people who were in the Time Saver and working there had some kind of other job or kids or something, and they wanted to get back to whatever that was. Obviously, you don't want to eat in a
school or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was one of the reasons.
So you would then move in and take their spot if you saw.
But here was my proudest thing, and that is during the summertime, when people who work there full time, Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, there were people who worked full-time at the time, said, well, quite a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
They needed somebody to go on, when it was their turn to go on vacation,
mm-hmm.
I would come in and substitute for them. And I do
how
like
many hours a week were you
I
working?
Did like two, oh gosh, lots, too many. This was what brought me down.
Yeah, I know.
This is that really, really was a not well thought out thought. In some ways, and in other ways, it was brilliant.
Yeah. Well, certainly giving you a lot of fodder for today's show. Yeah. I'll say that. All right. So when you had, was there any particular time saver that when you were told that that's where you were working tomorrow, you would go, mm-hmm. oh, no.
No, they knew better than to do that. We, that was, you know, the manager would ask instead of the other way around.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was pretty much true. My favorite one, it's looking at this from a more positive deal, there used to be a Royal Castle, which was not a national chain because it was not around that long.
Uh-huh.
It came out of Miami.
Mm-hmm.
They had those little square hamburgers. But what was good about those is that at the Time Saver, they had a shop for those. At the Time Saver, they would cook everything to order, believe it or not. They would squeeze their own oranges for orange juice.
What?
This was
what?
Yes. Yeah, this was the Royal Castle was the name of it. And their shop was immediately in front of the Time Saver. Mm-hmm. So we used to go back and forth one to another to swap something out or something.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's nice.
Yeah, it was. And that was a good-looking store, too. And they had liquor. It was the first one that had liquor.
I would imagine that that became pretty common.
Right away, yeah.
Pretty common.
Yeah, well.
Did you have a certain kind of liquor that sold more than the other stuff?
Not really. It never caught on to the point that beer did. When people went to the Time Saver for something like that, they were looking for whiskey or or vodka or something. Like that.
Was there, and I don't want to get into the story that you told me once that is too sad, but was there ever a time when you were working that you felt uncomfortable about someone that came into the Time Saver?
That's
like
a good
customer?
Question.
Did you ever get like a little chilly vibe or something? Because I mean, I'm sure
a little what?
Now back in the day, back in those days,
yeah,
there, you know, people were not maybe as scary as they can be today. So did you ever have a feeling like that when you were working in the Time Saver?
What, that something might happen?
Yeah, that you just were feeling, you know, like, you know, what do they call it? Your there's a, you know, it's like a little thing, your intuition that guides you through things like that. You dismiss yours. You always tell me that I focus too much on that and that you tend to dismiss yours. But did you ever have any feeling that maybe, you know?
Oh, sure. I mean, in the same way that a lot of people, and with good reason, stop going down Bourbon Street, let's say. Because
mm-hmm.
you have this bad feeling about it. And
yeah, like a bad feeling. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Did you ever have that? I mean, did that happen to you with any
No,
kind of,
I never.
Never in all the years that you worked there, in all the different locations, that never happened to you?
Well, there was one, but I didn't know what it was at the time because I was too naive to do this.
How old were you?
I was in my
younger times.
This was when I was really
a
kid. I was on my bicycle.
Okay.
And there was this guy who worked at the store, and he said, "Why don't you come over to my house, and we'll cut the grass, and we'll redo this and that and this and that."
Oh, I'm not talking about somebody that actually wanted you to come. I'm talking about just like somebody walking
around.
No,
this was not legitimate at all.
Well, of course not. But I'm saying, like, I mean, you wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, did you? Like, just, I'm not talking about someone you actually had a conversation with. I'm talking about, I got to watch that person. Like somebody that you felt might be a shoplifter. Was there any of that?
Oh, your brother, was there ever. I mean, it was a big problem.
Well, what, did you know
in some
that
stores
people were
in
doing it and you just said, well, you know, I'm not going to bother with that or what? What happened?
There was no mistaking it.
Yeah, I'm sure. But so did you all confront people, and how did that go?
You weren't supposed to do anything like
that.
Yeah,
I think that's a bad idea. If
you're in the store and there's somebody coming in who looks like he might be, the rule was get the hell out of there.
Get out of the store.
Get out of the store.
So they did have rules about that sort of thing.
Uh-huh. Hey, Greg is on the phone. Maybe he's got an outlook on this, or maybe not. Okay. It doesn't matter. We'll listen to anybody. Greg,
well,
welcome.
How are you guys doing today?
We're having fun.
Oh, just
how
rolling along. And would you like a Kool's Regulars by any chance?
I'm okay. I wanted to ask you guys, and it's been gone for some time now, but what do you think? I enjoyed it. It used to be called Mizzotto right there on, I think, by City Park Avenue.
Yeah.
Cherry off the interstate.
Latin food.
I thought it was really, I think it was the guys from Zia, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yep. Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. Was that more like a lease rent issue, or did they just? Because I thought the food. I was just perplexed when they.
It's avant garde. It was too avant garde.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever went there. Probably should have.
Mizzotto was too avant garde. It was something straight out of L.A. before you started seeing places like that. I mean, if you think about it, Mizzotto was 2014, that was 5 years ago, and lasted, I want to say, 2, maybe 3 years, and they kept thinking that it was going to go away, but then people kept wanting it to come back. But then the reality was, and this is what the owners finally decided, the people who said, and this happens all the time, gosh, I wish you would do such and such, then you do that, and you realize there's not enough of those people. Or maybe they mean it, but not enough to keep you in business.
Yeah.
And so they decided to go ahead and rebrand that into Azia. And they did keep one or two items.
Oh,
but
that
I'm not
place.
Even sure,
oh, okay.
I'm not even sure that those are still on the menu. They used to have a great tamale.
I'd like to play the Spanish flair to it, because the Tex-Mex places are, you know, in abundance, of course. But that, to me, was like, I think, Peruvian food, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
when they were open,
it had,
I think,
some elements
more like South,
of
like a,
Peruvian.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you like Peruvian food, you know, there's a place on Magazine, which is...
I do, yeah.
Have you been there?
No. Go ahead and tell me the name. I like to check it out.
I want to say it's Cisco, C-I-S-C-O, and it's it's right in that's Costera.
It's right
in the same vicinity. It's like right across the side street from Pizza Domenica. Is on Magazine, and then right next to the tire store is that little tiny place. It's been there long enough that I'm impressed, you know. It's impressive that they're still there.
There's
also a Peruvian place.
No, I was going to say Pizza Domenica. You put the garlic knots in my head now. Now I'm going to go want some, because those are, to me, the
they have a really good happy hour there. Pizza for half price.
Oh.
So you might want to go over there now.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah. Oh, it's a really good. It's a really good happy hour. Yeah. Half price pizza. On Ferret, and I'm not sure if it's still there, but there was a Peruvian place on Ferret called Cuzco, C-U-Z-C-O, and it's right near Dat Dog on Ferret. So there's two Peruvian places. If you go, let us know what you think of it.
I will, and I'll leave you with this. Have you been to Wayfair on Ferret?
Love it.
Wayfair?
Love it.
Where's that?
Very good place.
It's right next door to Ancora.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's
good place.
My brother calls Wayfair a chick place.
Oh, really?
What's he looking for?
No, he's not looking for anything.
Oh, good.
Because every time he goes there, it's like all women, but I've not noticed that.
No, I think it's a great place. Do you think Ferret long-term is going to add more places, or you think real estate sort of limited over there as far as the growth?
Oh,
goes.
I don't know. That's a great location, and the only thing wrong with it is that the condition of the streets is abysmal.
That's kind of everywhere there. You know what I wish? I wish that when Dat Dog first started in the Shed, I wish I'd bought some real estate there.
Yeah.
Because that's really changed.
I know. That's true.
I've already bought a little. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. 260-6368, Greg. That's 260. Thank you. 260-6368. We are talking remembrances of the Time Saver, but, of course, we're taking calls on anything that
anything
you, would
you
like
want.
To
we're always wide open.
Are you ready to do it again, Tom?
I sure am. What is it?
No, the cool.
Oh, the cool?
I was going to give you the opportunity to say it again because I know how you love it.
Give me a pack of cools, regulars.
Doug, do we have to take a break? Let's do that. 260-6368. We'll be back. We are back. 260-6368 is the number. Let me tell you quickly about Porter and Luke before we go to the phones, where we have Sal waiting. Porter and Luke, great little place, comfort food, Metairie Road in the shopping center by Walgreens and Oakwood Heart. That's where you're going to find the great wedge salad that is three little wedges of crab meat ravigotte and shrimp remoulade, and also fried oysters. There's a good meatball and spaghetti there. They have a great chicken that looks like chicken and dumplings, but it's like chicken with a braised chicken with pasta. They have good fried seafood. They have fried chicken, good club salad, good club sandwich, good hamburger. Porter and Luke, it's a good place to go. Go check it out. Good red beans with a ham shank. Porter and Luke, 1517 Metairie Road. Let's go to Sal.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. How are y'all doing?
Thank you for calling. We're having a great time today.
Excellent. Just wanted to share a little bit about a dish that we fixed the other night. Had some company over, and we did chicken piccata with capers and lemons. Came out great. Wow. And instead of serving it with any kind of pasta, we used spaghetti squash instead. Drizzled a little olive oil and garlic. It was delicious.
Mm-hmm. Sounds really good. What color was the sauce, though? Just I don't know if you mentioned it.
You know, it's
red or white or
it comes out a little brown because you fry the chicken cutlets in the olive oil and butter, and you do it in batches of two. So by the time you do the third or fourth batch, the butter is kind of brown, and then you take it off the heat, and then you pour in your stock and your capers and the lemon juice, and it came out really, really well.
But it is
somewhat
capers...
of a brownish sauce. So of course, I whisk it really well, and all of the little particles of the, you know, remnants of the flour of the dusting of the chicken get in there, and it kind of thickens it up, and it's just really, really tasty.
How far can you go wrong with anything that has capers in it?
It's delicious. I love capers. I mix capers into my tuna salad. It's really good.
Yeah, it's great.
Capers is one of God's great, wonderful gifts.
Isn't it? And if you ask me where or how they grow, I wouldn't be able to tell you, but I just know I like them. And I buy them in a little jar. That's all that matters.
If you want to hear, I can tell you.
Sure. I have a question, by the way, after this. Okay. But I'd love to hear where capers come from.
Well, you go first to be courteous.
Well, my question is about baking.
Baking.
And I read that Cairo syrup, corn syrup, is often used not only as a substitute or a sweetener because of a taste issue, but it doesn't crystallize. And I was wondering if I wanted to make a pecan pie and I did not want to use corn syrup, could I substitute a light cane syrup, like a Steen's blended cane syrup?
Yeah, people do that all the time.
Really?
It gives you different colors and different flavors. But
it works.
It works just fine. And
as long as you use the same ratio of eggs to the sweetener. Okay, great. So tell me about capers.
Okay, capers grow in a bush that's about as tall as you and I are, something about like that. And you'll see them growing on the sides of roads, among other places. In Italy, I'm talking about, which is mainly where I've seen them. And what you do with them is, step one, you take the little capers, which you have to choose very carefully because they grow on these little spines, believe it or not. And the smaller the capers are, the better they taste. So, and then you marinate this in a marinade with just any of a million things, and then you serve it. Or you can let them get fully ripe, because these are really originally buds. That's right. They're buds.
Oh, okay. But,
and then when they completely get to their finished state, they're about the size of
corn kernels.
No, but more like I'm going into the dark here. But the it's called a pepper a caper
bud caper bud
capers no there's okay.
Anyway, they grow in Italy.
Yeah, let's not push it.
Yeah, they do.
All right.
That's true.
Okay.
Well, that's
great. Thank you, Sal.
Thanks for the information. Y'all have a great afternoon.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Yeah. See you.
And I think we have someone else.
Alan, welcome to the food show.
Thank you, Tom. Indeed.
Thank you.
And just if I may take a moment to just, as a preface, to let your lovely wife know that I used to wait on your husband. Marianne, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I go way back. I was a restaurant waiter in New Orleans in the late 70s through until I started teaching school down in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. I'm calling from Seattle. The last time I called was when you had the a dinner at Impostado's. But I used to work for Chef Andrea, and I'd trade some stories with Tom the last time I called, and that was I guess I was back in May when you had the dinner. But so it's been since then. But I'm calling because yesterday was kind of interesting. They were the guys that you had. There were a room of bakers, mm-hmm. and the topic became when and where. What was your first po' boy? Mm-hmm. They even mentioned too, Tom, that you can appreciate this. One of the guys, and I think he was the one that was more or less the host of the show, said Tom calls it poor boy.
Yeah.
And he said when he writes it, he writes poor boy. But he says, you know, in New Orleans, we take words and we just kind of butcher words at times, and mm-hmm. comes out poor boy. But I'm calling. I'm bouncing around here a bit. But so Chef Andrea called, and they asked Chef Andrea. They asked Chef, you know, what's your favorite po' boy, Chef? And he laughed, and he said, I like them all. And they asked him again. Were you able to hear the show yesterday? I know you weren't.
I probably did, but I was I missed that.
Why?
I think you would have gotten a kick out of it. I have a feeling you know, I worked for Chef Andrea for almost 4 years, and I've never seen him really eat a po' boy. but he never went out. I mean, they asked him about it, and I think the third or fourth time they asked him, he did say that he does like roast beef po' boys, and then he went on to talk about panini bread and how that makes a great sandwich with some olive salad and. He started creating over the phone there his own version, I have a feeling, of a po' boy. But I got a kick out of it because I love the guy. And I know, there's some foods I just can't picture Chef Andrea eating.
And no, I think you're pretty safe on that. Next time you hear him on our show, listen to him and you will find that everything, I mean everything that he has on his menu or in his head is his customer's favorite. Every one of them is his favorite. But that's okay. I mean, we all know what's going on there. But he's a good cook, and he's always entertaining. So, and he has amply parking too. So don't.
But no one's parking a lot, I'm sure.
He mentioned that parking since I guess 1984, and I think that's when he opened.
That's about right. Something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, so what are you doing in Seattle?
So, you know, I married a girl from the Seattle area. So we moved up here about 10 years ago. I'm still teaching. I've got some high school's special needs students up here, and I'm working in a summer school program. But it's you know, I get into these things where I walk into a restaurant and they say they have New Orleans style this or. You know, authentic Cajun that. My wife says, okay, we got to go, because she knows I'm going to go in the kitchen and I'm going to yell. I'm going to fuss. you don't get New Orleans style. You just can't get anything New Orleans style or Cajun style outside of that.
We have this conversation with my son all the time.
Absolutely
true. When he
says
he's going to make jambalaya, I'll say, do you want me to bring you some stuff? And he goes, no. We got stuff here, and I go, you don't have the right stuff there. And he goes, well, it's good enough for the people here. They don't know any better.
No, indeed.
That's right.
And my latest argument was somebody that said they had a muffalata, and I said, well, I hope you went to a Central Grocery for it. And they said, no, we went to a place. I think they said they went to, not Maspero's, but.
DiMartino's?
Napoleon House.
Napoleon House.
Well, that's good.
They've always had great muffalettas there. Always,
but Tom. Now, I think they heated them. They heat them up.
Oh, I hate that.
And Tom, I know that, and I'm on the same page with you. And I said,
your page is a smaller page than most people's. I'll tell you that.
Well, mortadella and salami, you don't heat these. They're cold cuts, and if you heat them up, if you ever fry them up, you'll see all that grease that comes out.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So, now,
what's wrong with grease?
Well, it's just the creator of the muffalata, and I forget, it's Salvatore Lupo, I think, was who did that there at Central Grocery back in over 100 years ago. He didn't intend for it to be a hot sandwich. It's not a po' boy.
It's not.
There's nothing hot. And maybe toasted bread. I can see that if I was to go to a Napoleon House.
All right. Doug's yelling at us.
It's
that
been
we have
entertaining.
To get another commercial.
We have to stop because we've come to the end. But talk to us again someday. You're always welcome.
Thank you.
See you later.
All right, Porter and Luke. One last Porter and Luke before we head out. Porter and Luke is a delicious comfort food emporium. How's that? On Metairie Road. I don't know. Is that the right word? It's a restaurant.
An
emporium. Emporium means you sell things that aren't a restaurant. But anyway, it's a good restaurant, good comfort food place on Metairie Road, 1517 Metairie Road. It is in that shopping center with Walgreens and also bordered on the other side by Oakwin Heart. It is there that you will find delicious meatballs and spaghetti. You will find other kinds of pasta dishes with a really delectable-looking cream sauce. Every time I look over it, I go, I got to get that next. Good hamburger, great club sandwich, good fried chicken. Actually, they're kind of known for their fried chicken. They have good salads. They have a great wedge salad with remoulade and ravigote and fried oysters on three different little wedges. And they have good poor boys, red beans, and all the regular specialties that you know so well in this area. That is Porter and Luke, 1517 Metairie Road in Metairie. Had a great show today.
And let me have some cools, regulars.
Tom's trip down memory lane with the time saver. Remember tomorrow, National Slurpee Day. We're not going to be here, but go have a Slurpee on us or on them, really. WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.